Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Navman. Now, I may have mentioned in a previous episode, me driving along, I had the MyCam GPS strapped to my windscreen or stuck to my windscreen, and literally approaching a set of traffic lights, and the guy in a right-hand turning lane decided to cut across not just my lane, but three others to go left. It was completely wild. I did catch the footage on the GPS unit. You'll see I did share it on my Twitter account, and I've even sent it off to Dashcams Australia as well. Not that I think it's extreme enough, because there was no real collision to make it appear on Dashcams Australia. However, the importance of this now telling you is that I have the footage of a near miss. If, heaven forbid, it was an actual collision, I would have had the speed that I was doing at the time, the footage proving that he was not indicating that he was even had any interest into coming into my lane or the three other lanes. And all of the footage is there, and the evidence is perfect. So, you know, sometimes you can get caught out where it's their word against yours, and it could be your insurance that has to really cop it after that. So here's me saying that for $369 recommended retail price, that MyCam GPS could have paid itself off literally in that one incident, which, you know, fortunately for me, I don't have to worry about. But I will tell you that this is a navigation unit and a dash cam in one. If you want just the dash cam, Navman sorts those out as well. Now, I will also give you a discount code, because I want you all to save a little bit of money in 2020. And here we have Jeff20, G-E-O-F-F-2-0. Enter that code in at checkout at navman.com.au and you'll receive 20% off. That makes the devices even cheaper. And if you haven't heard that conversation we had with Navman recently around why they make sense and why Australian temperatures make a big difference to what you stick onto your windscreen, it's a very worthwhile listen. Now, let's get on with the show. Now, this morning, whenever it is that you're listening and whatever it makes it feel like I'm drinking, I've got a bottle of Grant Berge Bonbon. Now, you might be wondering, what the heck are you talking about? This is like a bonbon, what you put out on your Christmas lunch or dinner. There's little bonbons that you pull on either side and you get a little treat in the middle. Well, Grant Berge, they're a vineyard. They're a vineyard out of South Australia. And here I have a 200ml bottle of their non-vintage Pinot Noir Chardonnay. It's a sparkling wine. And it sits inside this pretty sexy little bonbon. And I don't pop a lot of bonbons, because usually the things inside them are garbage. It's like a paper hat that you usually sweat straight through, and or there's maybe a small toy that's a piece of plastic that's just been pushed in to make it look like a car or something like that. So this has got to be the best bonbon I've ever cracked. It is $15 from your Liquorlands, Vintage Cellars, and others. And honestly, here we have a really nice example of Australian sparkling wine. So if you are interested in your sparkling wine, it could be that perfect little stocking filler for somebody just before Christmas. I like it. And I will say, though, at the Grant Berge, they have some amazing Shirazes. Obviously, they're in the Barossa Valley. They have a bottle called the Messac. It's got to be one of the best Barossa Reds that you will find. There is obviously some others out there as well, but from Grant Berge, it's just their superstar. Just a small hint there if you want to go big on Barossa Reds. Now, today on the show, we are going to do a couple of things. We're going to do a bit of a blended episode. I would have thought that coming into the end of the year, things would be slowing down. They're not. They are absolutely ramping up. It almost feels like the new year already. We're going to talk about some rumors from Samsung about the new S21. It feels like the S20 only just came out. However, here we're talking about some rumors, including dates of the S21. I've got a giveaway. I'm going to give away two smartphones, brand new from Oppo. They've got two that I can give away. I'm going to give them out to individual users so that people have a chance of winning one each rather than two for the one person. I'll tell you all about that and how you can win. I've got some questions from people, one about an Aldi TV. We're going to talk about password managers. We're going to talk about CES. Now, CES is a number of weeks away, but I'm taking you all with me. I'm taking you all with me because some of you can actually watch the broadcasts live from home. I'll be attending CES from home as well. I'm not going to Las Vegas. But in terms of taking you with me, I'm going to talk about a product that has already won a CES Innovation Award, and it's going to make ice creams so much better. So much better. So if you love your ice cream, stay tuned for that. And then we're going to talk to the people behind CES. We literally are taking you behind the scenes of the show before it even opens. I've got Jean Foster. She is the Senior Vice President of Marketing Communications at CTA, and CTA runs CES. So you want to come to CES with me? We're doing it. And we're doing it by bringing in a Senior Vice President to join us on the show. I couldn't be more excited about that and have you listen into that conversation that we do have. All right. Now, we always do get a whole bunch of rumors, and pretty much as soon as any new phone comes out, next week, you're going to hear about rumors about the next version of that phone. I know that when the new iPhone 12 was announced, people started to pretend they had images of the iPhone 13. But here we are talking about the S21. And I won't go into this too much because it is a rumor. The pictures do look very good and they do look very official. These don't look like mock-ups anymore. However, what we are seeing is a, from the front, pretty simple device with a punch hole camera. Again, full screen display, no plastic on the front that you're going to see. It's all screen. On the back, though, we're seeing a pretty interesting camera array of three identically sized lenses. Now, we had seen this before in the Fold or the Fold 2. That's what it looks like. It looks like three nice bullet hole sized cameras that do punch into the back with a flash. And it's got this really cool way of being connected to the phone. It doesn't look like that huge notch that we used to see in the past. It looked like it was stuck. It was stuck on the S20 Ultra. This one looks quite elegant. I will tell you, it looks like it's got a curved rear back as well. You'll find these images probably on most tech websites where they are putting leaks out. USB-C charging, I can see on the bottom. It looks really, really good. The one thing I will tell you, though, with Samsung devices is generally the hardware isn't the conversation piece. What we usually end up talking about when Samsung announces a new phone is what it does on the inside and how it uses those cameras, how it uses that display. If you think about when they first put in the fingerprint sensor underneath the screen, you couldn't see that in leaked images. You can see that when the actual phone is announced and you hear about it. So for me, it's waiting for that feature list. And how long will you have to wait to hear about this feature list? Well, there's strong rumors in the articles that I'm reading that January 14th is the potential launch event, which is called Samsung Unpacked. Interestingly, January 14th is the last day of CES. So Samsung will be at CES. Will they use the opportunity to open the show with TVs, home entertainment, home appliances and things like that, and then finish the show with Unpacked? Because that would make it probably the biggest week of tech that we've ever had. And talk about tech overload. I think the show that week will just go for a day. You'll just have to tune in, bring your lunch, and just get through the whole show. We're also hearing about a new pair of buds, as you probably would expect. Here, they're being coined the Galaxy Buds Pro, with that whole active noise cancelling. You know, the Buds Live that we saw this year, I loved those little bean-shaped devices. I really liked them. And here we're talking about ones that look a bit more like Buds, but still with that noise-cancelling element. Maybe the beans weren't really, I don't know, maybe they weren't really well-received. I quite liked them. So January 14th, we won't have to wait for too long. If you're thinking about buying a flagship phone, so if you're actually thinking about buying the S20, think about holding out because you'll only have 3 or 4 weeks to wait before you hear about the S21, and just wait and see. So hold on to your horses for that. Now I'm going to get straight into this giveaway that we're running. And Oppo were really kind to offer this out to me. I think, you know, they definitely see that one thing about this podcast is that I genuinely care about every single listener that tunes into this show. And I care to the point that I get very nervous about telling you the wrong thing because heaven forbid, you go and spend even a dollar on a product based on something I've said and I've made a mistake or I've said something incorrectly. So I do take what I do very seriously because it is money. We're talking about financial decisions here, purchasing decisions that you'll make. You work hard for your money. But if you need a new phone, I've got two to give away. Oppo is providing me with an A53s and an A52. Now, let's start with the A52, which is the cheaper of the two devices. But we're talking about a device that's got, this is crazy, and Oppo does this. It's got 4G, a 6.4-inch display, 64 gigs of storage, 4 gig of RAM, a 5,000 milliamp hour battery. It's got fast charging. It runs Android. What else are you going to need? So that's one device. The A53s has a 6.5-inch display. It's a 90 hertz screen. It's got the triple cameras on the back. We're talking about 4 gigs of RAM, potentially 128 gigs of storage. I'm pretty sure that's what the model is that you'll receive. We've got the fingerprint sensor on the back. Again, we're talking about a phone that's going to do everything that you possibly need it to do. And I've, as I've always said before, even though I love talking about flagship devices because they push the cutting edge of innovation, the mid-range is definitely where most people should be buying. Some people like to have the bells and whistles, but most people just don't need them. So, two phones. How are you going to get them? I'm going to make it really, really simple. So here's what I want you to do. Leave a review for this podcast. And I'm not talking about leave a positive review. Just leave a review. Give me some feedback. Tell me that you listen. Tell me, put something in there saying whatever. Rate it 1 star. Rate it 5 stars. I'm not looking at that. I just want to see reviews left. Then text me. Text me on 0467-439-078. And just tell me what your username was that you used in the review. The only reason being is that way I can actually contact you, because by looking at reviews, I can't contact you back and say, hey, you've won the phone. So leave a review of this podcast. Send me who you are. So you say, hey, I was, you know, Boggles 123. Cool. You're in the draw. I'm not going to be looking at the reviews to determine the winner. I'll be raffling it, so to speak. So I'll be taking all of those usernames, putting it into a spreadsheet, and using a random generator to pick two usernames out, and then I'll be able to text you and get your address to send it out to you. So it's that simple. Leave a review of the podcast and shoot me your username via SMS, and you're in the draw. The phone will go out to you next year. So given the holiday period and things like that, we're just not going to be able to get the phone out to you before Christmas. We're going to run this over the Christmas break anyway to give you time to do that. But if you go on the Apple Podcasts website, if you download iTunes, if you've already got an iPhone, there are thousands of different ways to do it. We're talking about leaving a review on Apple iTunes of this podcast and send me your username so I can make sure you're in the draw. It's that simple. Two smartphones going out to two people, and I couldn't be happier about that. And we have a question this week from David, and he's literally sent me a link to a special buy on Aldi and says, is this a good buy? Well, I'll tell you everyone else about what we're talking about here. It's a 40-inch full HD smart TV, $329. It's got HDR. It's got HDMI ARC. It can do live TV recording. It's got stereo speakers, USB media playback, and even has Wi-Fi. So here's what I'm going to suggest to you. David, if this is a TV that's perhaps going in the bedroom, going into a kid's room, going to be maybe stuck on a wall near a billiard table, like it's not a very important TV in the sense that that's not where you're going to be watching TV every day, then it's a cracker buy. $329 is always a bargain, especially for a TV of that size. Aldi, this is coming from the Born brand, so Aldi do provide relatively good TVs in that way. They do usually come at least with a one-year warranty. This one does have Netflix and YouTube on board, hence the Wi-Fi connectivity will help you with that. The reason I'm saying that this shouldn't be your primary TV is because if you're going to sit in front of this every day, you probably should upgrade it a little bit. You know, I think you should be getting a bigger TV if you're going to sit in front of it every day. I think you should probably go for a more known brand if you're going to be using this thing every day. But if you're just using this in the kids' room or in a rumpus room or something like that, it's perfect. It's perfect. The one thing I would suggest to you, and I suggest this to a lot of people, almost regardless of the brand, $329, could you go and also spend maybe $99 on getting the new Google Chromecast with Google TV? That way, you won't even have to care about what Born has put onto this smart TV in terms of how their apps work and things like that, because you'll probably find that apps will be missing. So when you plug in the Google Chromecast, that means that this TV suddenly transforms into the TV operating system of what's in the Chromecast. That way you'll get access to KO, Stan, Amazon Prime, everything that you could possibly throw the kitchen sink at, including Apple TV. I read today that Apple TV is coming to Google Chromecast as well. So if you watch whatever shows are on there, I think Mandalorian is on there. I don't know. No, that's on Disney Plus. Something is on Apple TV. Oh, it's that morning show. That's what's on there. So if you're interested in watching that, you still can on this TV. So $329, if you can stump an extra 100, trust me, you've got a really good package there for any other room of the house. I hope that helps you, David, and happy shopping. And I'm sure you'll enjoy getting in line on a Saturday morning or Wednesday morning when this goes on sale. And just a reminder, if you have any questions, anything at all, hit me up on the Boost text line. This is 0467 439 078. Send me an SMS anytime, and we will definitely try and get to it on the show. And also, that's the same phone number that you need to enter the Oppo phone giveaway. All right, now we will get to our conversation with Gene Foster very soon from CTA, the company behind CES, to talk about everything that we're going to expect in January. However, this week, CES announced some award winners of their innovation awards, and they tend to do this at this time of the year. And actually, you'll find in that awards list, a lot of products that were announced earlier this year end up winning awards. Now, one product that caught my eye, and it's not here in Australia yet, because if it is, I think I'd have one, especially being summer. Type this into your search engines. Cold snap, one word. This is a pod appliance. So we know about Nespresso machines. You put the pod in there, it makes you a coffee. I've also seen pod machines for wine. I've seen so many different pod machines that you can get. And I love the innovation behind it because it allows that single serving of perfect something every time. Coffee, wine, whatever it is. Cold Snap is making ice cream. This is an appliance. It looks around the size of a KitchenAid mixer. You know those KitchenAid mixers, those things? It looks like one of them. And this one, you put in what looks more like a Red Bull can. You jam that in the top, and it produces like a soft serve ice cream. Stick your cone under there, stick your bowl under there, and you'll have an ice cream sundae in how long? 60 seconds. So from the can, which I'm assuming is a liquid, it must go through some very rapid freezing to deliver that. They're also talking about having frozen yogurt capsules. They're talking about having frozen coffee capsules. So you really can imagine all of your cold desserts being served through this product. This kind of product is the reason why I'm upset I'm not at CES this year. Cold Snap is something that I would be happy to visit, happy to try their product and return again and again and again for a refill of a sundae with a little bit of chocolate ice magic on top would just make my day. Whether this comes to Australia, we're yet to find out for sure. I'm obviously asking the questions and seeing if we can. Boy, oh boy, please tell me how I can review this product and get this to my home. If I could have a coffee machine and next to that, my ice cream machine and next to that, my wine machine, I'm thinking life's pretty good. I mean, it just sounds so, so cool. So the Americans, my American listeners, get out there and buy it. You lucky buggers, just go and get one. It's just so, so cool. We're going to hear about more of this. And this is what we tend to see at CES is ideas worth talking about. And in so many years gone by, products like this are the ones that excite me. Yes, I love hearing from the big brands, but I'm telling you, CES being around the corner, gosh, it's so exciting. And this is just a little taste, literally, of what's to come. I have a question from Felix. Felix, I like that name. So Felix asks, what are my thoughts on password managers? Great question. And the reason it's a great question is because I hadn't been a user of a password manager up until about a week ago. So your question is incredibly timely for a couple of reasons. So I haven't been a member for a long time, and I decided to sign up to LastPass. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, a password manager is effectively a website or an application or a service that you create an account with, and you store all of those usernames and passwords for all of those services and websites and logons that you would have and never remember the password to. I know that whenever I set up a new phone or a new TV or whatever it is, I install the Netflix app and I'm like, oh, what username and password did I use for that? Or then I have to log into Instagram and what did I use for that? You know, how often does that happen? And unfortunately for a lot of us, we end up using the same password for everything. And then if any of these services are compromised, guess what? They now have access to every other account that you've got because it's the same username and password. So it's a terrible thing to do. Password managers help you manage that. What they also do is they do look for duplicate passwords that you've used, and it encourages you to change them and actually can help you change them automatically as well. LastPass can also generate passwords, which I love. And it's a free service. There is a paid version, which gets a bit more fancy, but if you just want to have a good password manager, it seems like a pretty good option at the moment. I've installed it on my phones as well, so it actually allows you to synchronize. If I've got a password that I've saved from when I was browsing on my PC, when I go onto my phone, go to that website, whatever it is, boom, LastPass steps in and says, hey, I gotcha, and does it all for you. I do like that. I like that when I sign up to a new website and I enter in a username and password for the first time, LastPass is like, hey, do you mind if we store that one for you? I think you might need it later. Boom, you just keep going. So it is really nice. I'm using the free version. And the other thing, the other reason this is really good timing is I've literally just finished recording an interview with LastPass as well. So we've got them on the show in a few weeks' time. The message behind that interview is going to be, it's the new year, time to do some spring cleaning, and that has to start with your security. You know, managing your passwords, making sure you've got secure passwords. And the best part about that interview is we talked about pass phrases. So we always talk about passwords and we say, I'll make it a word and then put six numbers on the end and five special characters. That's a secure password. However, when we had this conversation with LastPass, he said we should be doing pass phrases. So the cat loves the dog, right? You take those words. Maybe you've got two pets and that would work. I don't even know why I said that. But anyway, the cat loves the dog. And then what you then do is you make some capital letters in that sentence. You maybe replace the E's with number threes. And then maybe at the very end, you put an exclamation mark. That's not that hard to remember when you think about the cat loves the dog. And you know automatically that E's are threes. And you're putting going to make a yelling sound at the end. That's not bad. So think about using pass phrases instead of passwords. And it makes that longer, more complicated password seem easier. Anyway, Felix, that was a very long answer for you. But stay tuned for the interview with LastPass. I think you'll appreciate that one. He has a huge amount of tips that are far greater than what I can suggest for you immediately right now. All right, now I know a lot of you have been waiting for this, and I am so, so happy that we could get Gene Foster on the show. This has got to be one of the busiest people in technology at the moment. Gene Foster is the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Comms at CTA, and that is the company not just powering CES, but also working in a whole lot of other areas in the technology industry as well. CES has gone fully virtual this year, from a physical event to a fully virtual event. That is no small thing to do. Jean was very generous with her time. And without further ado, I'd love you to hear this interview with Gene Foster as you all come with me to CES 2021. Look, Gene, first and foremost, I want to go back to CES 2020. There was an interview that I saw between yourself and James Kotecki, I think it was, in the yeah. C-Space studio. And he asked you a question about 2020 as it will be the year of. And at that point, your answer was artificial intelligence. Now, in hindsight and looking back over the year that we've had, what would you now say that 2020 was the year of?
Wow, what a question. Digital health and artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Digital health. I mean, I know from, you know, what we've been doing here. So I don't know how familiar you are with us as an organization, Consumer Technology Association. You know, we're first and foremost, we're here to serve the members of the technology industry in the U.S. And this year has been predominated by digital health. You know, we've everything from we've actually created a telemedicine directory for the U.S. government and the White House. To a lot of the stuff that we're doing for our members. So yeah, I never saw this one coming, like many. That was an interesting one for us. But I'm gonna stick to AI because part of the work that we've been doing here, again with health, is a lot of work around privacy, security, best practices for AI in healthcare. Mm. So I'm going to keep that link for you.
No, I think that's fair. And look, I have to ask, at what point did the team decide that CES would go entirely virtual? And how close was it simply to being impossible to achieve at all? I mean, this is a huge feat.
So we actually started back in April. I actually started looking at, how could we create a digital component of the show? Because we knew at that time that there would have to be some form of digital component. We knew that people couldn't travel. We planned two scenarios. We planned for what we called a hybrid show, and we planned for an all digital show. And we worked on both of those. And that's when I started looking at all of the technology platforms out there. Basically, we must have looked at every, we looked at over 40 platforms. We talked to all of the big tech companies. And we really started to pull together, what do we want to create here? And a lot of those platforms were, they took the physical world and moved it online. You know, they had avatars walking around a digital booth, and we just thought that's, you know, that's just not the vibe that we were going for. You know, we saw this as an opportunity to really move the industry forward. If you know anything about CES, is an event that's been going on for 54 years and it's reinvented itself. Yeah. So we look at this as the next phase of the evolution, but we wanted to also reinvent that engagement with our audiences. And we said, okay, what's really important to us? Is it the coolest tech platform, or is it really about bringing the industry together, which is what we, you know, that's what we settled on. We want to bring our exhibitors and our members together with the audiences, be it the media or buyers or influencers or, you know, all of the tech companies out there. So that's what we focused on, was that very large scale. And hence why we decided on Microsoft as a platform, because we really needed somebody that could work with us on a global level, that can handle the security, the global access. And then it was about July, we obviously realized it just wasn't, we couldn't safely do a physical event in Las Vegas. And that's when we made the decision to go all digital.
And it's really interesting too, because I mean, CES is normally the host of so many innovative companies and ideas, whereas this year it's your turn to be innovative. And in some ways you've had to lean on some of the exhibitors that you would have had at CES as well to actually help you make this all possible.
Yeah. Yeah. So we looked again at these great companies, you know, and as I said, you know, you look at somebody like Microsoft, who've been running big global events now in the last year. You know, they've pivoted their business completely. All of their partner events, all of their user events are all digital. So they had great experience to really help us through that, as well as the scale. But what we also did is we talked to all of our big exhibitors and we said, like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing to create a new engagement with your audiences and a new model? And that's, you know, we looked at them for inspiration. We looked at, you know, what was happening in the music industry. We looked at what was happening in the sports industry. You know, if you think back in March, it was fine for us all to sit in our bedrooms and for music stars to perform from their bedrooms. But it's now got a lot more, you know, sophisticated than that, you know, with these events. So we, you know, we looked at multiple areas and influences. But yeah, a lot of our big tech companies, hey, we're in the right industry, so we've got the right companies. And I think what you're going to see at the show is going to be very cool. Some of the digital activations that these companies have got are going to be really, really interesting.
I can't wait. And look, if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that every company has had to become a tech company in some way. And my question here is, how does that make CES? Are we just seeing the typical companies show up anymore? Or, you know, we know that brands like John Deere and others who aren't traditionally tech are really making a big announcements and things like that at CES now.
So John Deere is one of my favorite exhibitors over the last few years. I don't know if you had a chance, because I think you've been to CES. So yeah, I've just, yeah, you know, if you had a chance to visit, but they're unbelievable. You know, I met with John Deere 3 years ago and we, you know, they talked about what they're doing. I said, you really got to come to CES, because what you've seen over the years is companies that are reinventing themselves and pivoting their business, they're basing it on tech, and they look at CES as a platform to do that. So John Deere have got a really interesting activation lined up. We've got Caterpillar, the mining division of Caterpillar, coming in, and they're doing some really cool stuff. So that was a first for them. You know, we've got other companies that are in the tech space that haven't been there, like Bose, you know, the headphones, they haven't been part of the show. You'd think they were, but they haven't been part of the show. So we've got some really interesting companies coming in this year to continue that tradition. I mean, we kind of say that, you know, every company is a tech company.
Yeah. And look, I mean, in 2020, I think it was close to 200,000 people that went through the doors at CES. And, you know, when you consider that it's not open to the general public, it's a huge amount of people. Going virtual changes things a little bit, doesn't it? Because I believe that the public actually can be involved in some ways this time.
So, yeah, so CES, we had about 172,000 in 2020. So this is still first and foremost a technology trade show. So for people who are actually going to register for the digital venue platform that we're focusing on, people will still have to be qualified. They have to be in the tech industry. They have to be tech media. So we're really, you know, we're continuing with that requirement. Mm-hmm. However, we are taking some of our content and we're going to live stream it. And we've done this in the past couple of years. You know, we've live streamed some of our keynote sessions and some of our, you know, some of our top sessions. So we're actually going to be pushing a lot of those keynote sessions out on social media. So it will be accessible to the general public. And, you know, I always joke, you know, with the CES brand, when you become the butt of the late night comedians' jokes, you know, you've moved into popular culture. So there's a lot of people there. You know, people tell me all the time, God, I've always wanted to go to CES. Well, yeah. Now they're going to be able to participate in some of that. But the actual core part of the event is still going to be industry focused. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting mix, but certainly much more accessible for many.
I agree. And how do you think those sort of non-tech companies, like we've had Princess Cruises in the past, Impossible Foods, how do you think those kind of brands will still be able to engage when some of their experiences that they announce are sometimes a bit more tactile? I mean, Impossible Foods, for example, I remember chewing on some burgers in Vegas. It was part of the experience that they had. How do you think they're going to replicate their kind of products in a virtual way?
So I don't know, and that's what's going to be interesting about. We never know what these big exhibitors are going to do. You know, that's always the interest. You know, journalists always ask me what's coming up. They don't tell us, you know, because they keep it under wraps. Yep. Just like, you know, they keep their physical booth under wraps in Las Vegas. You know, they're keeping their digital activations under wraps. But there's a lot of interesting stuff. I say again, you know, how does John Deere take that experience of that big physical piece of equipment virtually? They've got plans that look really, really interesting.
Oh, I can't wait. And we have been talking quite a bit about big brands. Now, you think about companies like Samsung, LG, who have some of the largest booths when we do go to CES. They certainly have the staff and resources to essentially pivot from going to this physical event to online. I'm thinking about the smaller companies that we would see normally at Unveiled or just on the show floor. How do we give them enough exposure like we probably would have given them when we could physically walk past their booth and have our attention grabbed?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, because those companies are so important to us. If you think about, if you've ever been to Eureka Park, which is our startup area, you know, 1,200 startups from around the world, I could just spend, you know, all my time there. So we actually, first of all, we said it's really important these companies participate. So we had a very low price point for them to come in and participate. They're going to be able to set up a digital activation, which they can showcase their products through videos. But more importantly, they're going to be able to chat with audiences. So you as a journalist can go in, you can search, you can do a search on a technology type, you can do a search on startups, and we'll be able to recommend the companies that you should go look at. And then you're going to be able to interact with them. You're going to be able to do online chat. You're going to be able to set up meetings with them, because it's all about that collaboration. You know, this is not, CES is not about sitting watching hours and hours and hours of press conferences and keynotes. It's about that collaboration with exhibitors. So you're going to be able to go in and live chat with them, you know, and have that experience. Now, obviously, you know, some of those companies, you know, the capability might not be as sophisticated as a Samsung or a Sony, but if they're really able to capture their product in a really cool video, then they're going to be able to get that across. And we've actually put tools out for exhibitors to help them, you know, those companies to help them kind of reimagine how they present themselves in a digital world, because it's a broadcast model. You know, we're moving to a broadcast model.
Yeah, no, it's. I can't wait to see it. It's one of those things we have to wait for. It's almost like when we're waiting to fly into Vegas, we don't know what we're going to see until we get there. It's the same as we don't know what we're going to see until we click and join. Now, looking into the crystal ball, 2022, we haven't even gotten through 2021 yet, but do you think we will go back to a physical event? Do you think it'll be a hybrid or could it stay virtual, do you think?
So we're planning for a physical event in 2022, but there will be a digital component to that. And I think that's going to be the norm going forward. I think it will be a hybrid event going forward. I think, you know, this is really showing us what's the art of the possible with the digital event. And we'll learn from this year and we'll improve on it for next year. But we are planning a physical event in Las Vegas. Hopefully, you know, at that point, you know, people will feel safe enough to travel and vaccination is prevalent. So that's the plan. And we've actually started selling. We started selling space for CES 2022 back in October. And we've got a lot of big exhibitors already. You know, they really want to get back into the physical world again.
Good. And look, I think it's going to be the same on our side as well. It is different to actually being there in person. So I am looking forward to that buzz and excitement of being back on the ground. But again, it's going to be an exciting online version. Now, Jean, the next seven questions are really just a little bit to get to know you. Usually short and sharp. I'll try and be quick to get through these so we can let you get on with your day. But Jean, what would be your favorite app to keep you organized?
My favorite app to keep me organized. I have to say, and this is not just because I'm using it, but we've now fully immersed in the Microsoft platform. So one of the benefits, one of the things that come up every day if you use Microsoft is I get my Cortana notice, in my Microsoft email that says, here's an action. You've got this request for this information, and do you want to book some time for, what do they call it? Some I don't know if they call it work time, but it's great. So I love that because it really helps me put a little bit of block of time in my calendar, but also kind of mines your email for specific actions.
Yes, that's true. And what would be your favorite social media app?
I have to say I'm an Instagram gal. Yeah. But Facebook for my family. My family are in Europe. Still most of the family use Facebook, some of them use WhatsApp, but I love just, posting pictures on Instagram.
Cool. And when you do get 5 minutes to spare between meetings, what's the first thing that you want to do on your phone?
Check what's happening on our Twitter feed.
I can imagine.
At the moment.
I can imagine. And I probably should know the answer to this, but do you wear a smartwatch or a traditional timepiece?
Apple.
There it is.
An Apple girl.
And look, when we used to jump on aeroplanes, would you use the in-flight entertainment system or would you bring your own device?
More recently, I've been using my own. I try and download when I can more recently. I mean, I haven't traveled since January of this year. So I don't know. But that was, I would probably download my Netflix, binge my Netflix and catch up on my Amazon.
Awesome. And what do you love to do to disconnect? How do you get away from everything?
Hang out with friends when I can or virtually, mm-hmm. Hang out with my dog and drink wine, which I liked in your Twitter profile. It looks like you review products and drink wine.
It's actually my last question is, what do you love for a good drop? What would be your bottle of wine of choice today?
I'm definitely more, in recent years, definitely more of a US, Cabernet or a Pinot gal. So, at the moment, Oregon Pinots are my favorite. I'm going through them and trying all the Oregon Pinots. But for dinner, I like a little bit more of a cab. And then sometimes my wine club recently did send me some Australian wine. So,
I hope they were okay.
I haven't tried them yet, but okay. Some good Shirazes there. So I'm saving them for the holiday.
Good. Well, look, have an amazing break. I know it probably will be a bit of a distracting one for you over Christmas, but I cannot wait for CES and all the best. It's going to be a real hit.
Well, it was really good to meet you, Jeff, and I really hope you enjoy the show when it happens.
Oh, I can't wait. Thank you so much, Jean.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys, that is a wrap of the show. Look, it's been a long one, but I think it was a really fun one to do. We are not slowing down. We are certainly ramping up. The conversation with Jean was fascinating. It's got me so excited for CES. I can also tell you, maybe I can't tell you, but I've already had a bunch of very embargoed, very highly confidential conversations with many brands about their products that they're announcing at CES. The wheels are already in motion. There is a lot happening. Stay tuned to this podcast. You're absolutely going to hear about everything as it happens. I cannot wait to tell you all about CES. Check out my socials because that's where you'll also hear me sharing or see me sharing articles, TV spots, radio spots, anything that we do around CES, you're going to hear about it there as well. So thank you for listening. If you do not tune into next week's episode, have an amazing Christmas. Have a safe Christmas. And I cannot wait to talk to you again in 2021. The interviews, the normal shows, all the reviews will continue every week and on and on. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Don't forget to enter that draw to win an Oppo phone. I have two of them to give away. That just doubles your chances, doesn't it? Bye, guys.